praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Life Study emphasizes the capital L life that can be found in the Scriptures. Jesus himself said in John 6:63, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." This is the fruit of over 70 years of ministry by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Watchman Nee began his ministry in China in the 1920s, and it continued until his imprisonment and eventual martyrdom in the 1970s. Witness Lee brought this ministry to the United States in 1962 and began speaking these life study messages in 1974, completing it in 1995. To find out more, you can visit our website, lifestudy.com. Again, that's lifestudy.com. Now, let's join today's program. There were many problems in the church in Corinth, but through Paul's first epistle, most of the believers were brought back to the Lord and experienced a further reconciliation. One of the lingering problems, however, he left to be dealt with in his second epistle. This was the problem of his own apostleship. When the authority of the teaching is in question in a local church, this can be a serious problem. It's interesting that Paul saved this problem for last to deal with. We'll look at why as we explore Paul's vindication of his apostolic authority on today's program. Bill Lawson has joined us again. Bill, it's good to have you here. And this is, well, I think we get to chapter 10 through 13 in 2 Corinthians. We have to confess, this is not easy to understand all of the things going on in this portion, is it?
That's right, Chris. This portion of the Word, even especially the last four chapters of Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, is very difficult to understand. Not only doctrinally speaking, but also in our experience. I know in my background, I never got into these four chapters. All I knew was the benediction in 2 Corinthians 13:14.
Yeah, that part is well known, but especially from chapter 10 on, the tone changes, the direction, and the way he is speaking all takes a turn here, and as we have discussed in a couple of the previous programs now, in context, we've had, you know, the difficulties that he dealt with in the first epistle, and some of his dealing with the Corinthians was a little bit harsh or severe, and that, of course, filled him with some anxiety, not knowing how the believers there were going to respond to him. Then he describes how he had such great joy and relief and peace within when Titus came with word that the Corinthian believers had received his word in love, and they were open to him, they were restored to him, and this really caused a kind of rejoicing. So the flavor, the taste through most of the book of 2 Corinthians is very sweet and intimate and personal, and yet now we come to chapter 10, and his tone once again turns and gets somewhat severe because he's now dealing with this very difficult problem, isn't he?
Exactly. We have to realize that all the things that Paul dealt with in the first epistle, as you mentioned, that many things were cleared up. And then in his second epistle, that gave him more ground to speak more frankly and in lovingly to them based upon the fact that he realized that they had received his first epistle.
And that brings us to the problem that we are directly confronting here in these last four chapters of the book, and that is that his authority, his apostolic authority, had been called into question, had been undercut, and there was potential damage both to him personally, but also to the work and to the ministry. And so here now he makes his defense or his vindication of his apostolic authority, clearly a difficult, touchy, delicate matter. And as you said, he had to wait till the right time to touch it. In chapter 10, where this section really begins, even we realize now this is the context in which he initiates his fellowship regarding spiritual warfare. So in Paul's understanding, this was not just a personal attack against him, but the whole of God's New Testament economy had come under the attack of these false teachers. And so in chapter 10, verse 3, he said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to flesh." He's fighting now, isn't he, in a sense?
Yes, he's fighting a battle here, not according to the battles that we're used to, but he's fighting a spiritual warfare here. Because his ministry, his teaching, and the Lord's move on the earth through these Corinthian believers was at stake. And he had to really look to the Lord in a very wise way to be able to deal with this kind of, I would say, rebellion even in those believers in Corinth who were influenced by the Judaizers.
And that's what he's saying in this first portion as we join Witness Lee, that he's telling them very lovingly, in a sense, that you've been affected by these Judaizers. You have been stirred up in a way that is leading you away from Christ. And this is where he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. I think a lot of people are familiar with this passage, but powerful before God for the overthrowing of strongholds. And it's those strongholds now that we see him coming out in, you know, the context of spiritual warfare with the spiritual weaponry to overthrow. Why don't we join Witness Lee?
In chapter 10, you could see, firstly, Paul gave the indication to the Corinthians that at least some among them were very much influenced by the Jewish teachings. Those teachings were high reasonings and rebellious thought. And these things got into the Greek believers, making them also a kind of a rebellious person. There was the need of a war to defeat, to tear down all the strongholds, the high reasonings, the rebellious thoughts, all these strongholds should be torn down. And they have to be taken captives until the obedience of Christ. The source of all these rebellious things was the Judaizers. Chapter 10 is strong, yet in chapter 11 it is stronger. In this chapter, Paul tells us these Judaizers, they are false apostles. They are deceitful workers. They are messengers of Satan. And eventually they are super apostles. Who would dare to say this? I would not dare to say this. But Paul was surely bold enough. Here, Paul said, these Judaizers, they were false apostles, they were deceitful workers, and they were ministers of Satan, and what they did was just a reputation of Satan. So Paul gave them a nickname, super apostle. Paul was there facing a situation which was right in the church, which was raised up by Paul directly. In that church, a group of false apostles, deceitful workers, ministers of Satan, super apostles, went to stir up a rebellion against Paul and his teaching. Could you believe that those Corinthian believers accepted these false apostles? Yet, they accepted. At least a number of them got stirred up, were influenced by this kind of Judaistic teaching. And in those teachings, there were indications to be against Paul, to doubt about his apostleship, and to be against his teaching.
Well, Bill, this is very insightful. This portion that we talked about, it's difficult to understand. Now I think when we see what was happening in the background, it makes it a bit easier to see where Paul is going here. Let's talk about these Judaizers. We've used this term, I'm not sure we've really defined it for our listeners. They presented themselves to the church as Christian workers, didn't they?
Yes, I would say even as the genuine believers. They were a mixture. They had a Jewish background, but they were probably regenerated believers who were still very, very much under the influence of Judaism, and in that sense they were called Judaizers.
Which means that they were speaking a kind of a gospel. Their economy, we use the term God's economy, but their gospel included a lot of the elements of the old Jewish tradition and Jewish faith, didn't it?
Yes, they were very much influenced by that background. Again, they were fully in that background and very much influenced by the Mosaic law, the things of the Jewish religion, and based upon that, they were trying to work on those genuine believers in Corinth to bring those believers who were brought into the church life happen under Paul's ministry mm-hmm. to bring them back into a kind of Judaistic kind of situation.
And in so doing, at the same time, they spoke openly, it sounds like, against Paul and against his kind of ministry, which was really the ministry of grace, of the experience of Christ, the enjoyment of Christ, living Christ, being one with Christ. And we saw in this ministry of reconciliation that was such a prominent part of 2 Corinthians, it's all about being brought back to Christ, isn't it?
Right. Paul, as you say, Chris, this was really part of his ministry of reconciliation, as we'll see maybe in a few more verses here in a few minutes. But this was all a part of Paul's ministry of reconciliation to reconcile those believers not only back to God, to back into God so that they were fully one with the Lord. And this was not at all the aim of those Judaizers. The Judaizers wanted to bring the people back into the Jewish religion.
And bring them back into the law. Listen now as we read the Paul's words in chapter 11. I think they take on a lot more significance, and they're profound in the message that they are conveying in opposition to this tendency to be drawn back into a legalistic involvement in the Christian life. He says, "For I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your thoughts would be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity toward Christ. For if indeed he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear well with him." This is very strong on the one hand, but very focused, isn't it, Bill, on the other, to bring us back to Christ.
Right, that's his intention.
All right, let's go back to Witness Lee.
Here's the problem. Suppose I'm Paul, and you are the Corinthian believers, and some of you did accept the Judaizers' teaching. Now I'm telling you, they are false apostles, they are deceitful workers, they are ministers of Satan, and they are super apostles. Would you take my word? Would you take my word? Amen? I doubt. So, there is a fighting. Okay, let's check out by what we Paul fought such a battle. Paul was really a genuine apostle. He was not only capable, he was wise. You couldn't imagine by what way he fought down the Judaistic teachings. By a way like this. I'm jealous over you with a jealousy of God. Paul was really strong and wise. For I betrothed you to one husband to present you a pure virgin to Christ. You have to realize, once such a word is sounded out, Satan is defeated. All the Judaizers were put down. Even with today's Judaizers, the principle is the same. The Judaizers, they never minister anything to you that could calls you to treasure the Lord Jesus, so precious and so dear. The Judaizers always minister some things to stir up your zeal for religion. They would always stir you up by saying, "Look, this man's teaching is destroying our religion. Oh, his teaching is heretical. His teaching is against Trinity. His teaching destroys our traditional faith, which we inherited of our fathers." If you trace back the history from today's situation, back to the first century, there is a line that tells you all these Judaizers through all the generations, they have done the same thing.
Bill, Paul already told us in chapter 10 this was a warfare, a kind of a fight. He's really fighting for the hearts of these believers in Corinth, and his weapon is to betroth them to Christ and to be jealous over them. What kind of fighting weapon is this?
Wow, this word is a vindication that Paul is a genuine apostle and that these Judaizers were really not the genuine apostles. For someone like Paul with his experience and wisdom to use this word of betrothing them, of engaging them to Christ as a single pure virgin is just a marvelous work of reconciliation. I don't think we would have used that way at all. We would probably have fought directly, you know, maybe face to face with these ones, argued with them, argued doctrine, argued theology with them, and then we would still be in the same tree of knowledge as everyone. But here, Paul wisely used this explanation of, he said, you know, I have betrothed you to one husband to present you a pure virgin to Christ. He was jealous over them with the jealousy of God. And through this marvelous way, Paul touched their hearts. When we argue about theology, doctrine, teachings and that, we fully lose our focus. But when Paul brought them back to the matter of the Lord Jesus as our first love, this touched their heart, this touched their very being, and just eliminated all the problems. And through this, I really believe Paul was able to reconcile those distracted Corinthians back to Christ.
He's still in the ministry of reconciliation here, isn't he? Drawing them back in this kind of loving relationship. And really, in a way, without confronting it head on, he's almost setting up our relationship with Christ as a pure virgin, betrothed to him, espoused to him, destined to be his bride. Comparing that with the law and the Old Testament economy, what wisdom is this? It's just beyond human thought, isn't it?
Right. The Judaizers, no doubt, they were zealous for their religion. So they were in one realm trying to convince people, trying to argue, trying to vindicate themselves. But Paul brought them into another realm. He brought them into the realm of Christ. And this is something that I really realize, that any ministry or any teaching that brings us back to our first love has to be genuine. And I think that's what Paul was doing. When we, through a particular ministry, are brought back to love Christ, to treasure him, to love him supremely, to love him foremost, this is a real vindication of that one's apostolic authority.
Boy, that is a test we can use even in this age, isn't it, Bill, to weed through what is genuine and what is not. All right, let's go back to Witness Lee for our final portion.
Paul didn't argue with Judaizers concerning the doctrines. He said, I am jealous over you. With the jealousy of God, Paul was bold, telling them, those Judaizers, they are false apostles, deceitful workers, ministers of Satan, transfiguring themselves into apostles. They are super apostles. But before saying this, Paul says, I engaged you to a husband to present you a pure virgin to Christ. Then, in verse 3, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your souls should be corrupted from the singleness and the purity which is toward Christ. My concern is that, as a pure virgin to Christ, your souls may be corrupted. What I expect is that you keep your singleness, your purity toward Christ, forgetting about all the Judaistic teachings. As long as you have been ministered and impressed with Christ as your dear bridegroom, as your husband, it's good enough. This is not any kind of theology, any kind of doctrine. This is to recover himself as the unique husband for us to love, for us to belong to. He's here attracting us. We have been presented by the Apostle Paul to him a pure virgin. We know nothing, and we care for nothing, and we love no one but him. And our love is so pure, and our mentality is so single, and our entire being is focused on him. And this will preserve us, sanctify us, and saturate us, and transform us.
Bill, as we were fellowshipping before that last segment, this is a test of what is a genuine ministry of the New Covenant, a genuine New Testament ministry. Paul was under this attack through the ages. Those who have functioned in this way in the ministry, it seems, have always come under some kind of attack. I know you care a lot about history. I'm interested in history. We saw that. We see that also in the history of Watchman Nee. He suffered many attacks, and even in Witness Lee's lifetime. And the attack continues in some circles today. But yet we have to confess, as those who've been involved with this ministry, the same characteristic is there, it seems. And that's just a word of testimony. I trust you would echo it. It brings us back to Christ day by day, doesn't it?
Right. I think, as you mentioned, some of these ones used by the Lord through the centuries, they all faced this situation one time or another. They had the genuine ministry. They had the rich truth. They had the word of the Lord. They had that ministry of reconciliation, and the Lord surely put them on the test, as we all face different tests. And I was just deeply touched again of how much the genuine ministry needs to bring us back to Christ. So often we're in the realm of right and wrong, yet if we don't touch this real ministry of Christ and this ministry of reconciliation, there's no way we can be fully brought back to God. And here, too, I was touched with Brother Lee's word here about a preserving word. This word needs to preserve us. Many times we can be distracted and carried off by many good things, many good teachings, many good theologies. And those things, even though apparently are so good, they can bring us away from Christ, our bridegroom. But I think here, Chris, Paul is, maybe you can consider, a matchmaker. In a sense, you know, he's a matchmaker, and he's like, he's a partier. He's trying to bring together Christ and these distracted Corinthian believers. And I think he does a real good job of marrying these ones, of bringing this one back to the first love. So I think we have to look at it also from the point of view of being preserved, of being sanctified, separated from the realm that the Judaizers were in, and even to be transformed, because when we're brought fully back to Christ, our bridegroom, his life and love, they work within us, yeah. And they transform us and bring in the very element of Christ, the bridegroom, into us to enable us again to be fully reconciled to God.
Billy touched one point right near the end here, which we don't have time to develop today, but I'll point it out to our listeners because it really becomes the focus of our program tomorrow. In verse 3, he says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your thoughts be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity toward Christ." This is really hearkening back to Genesis in the Garden of Eden there in the two trees, which we'll see this parallel. And Paul is consciously making this analogy between Christ as the tree of life and this competing tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's quite a picture, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking the same thing. Because the Judaizers obviously were very familiar with the Old Testament. When Paul brought this matter up, the Corinthians realized that Paul was making an analogy here, that they had been somewhat deceived, and Paul was trying to bring them back to Christ.
Right.
So this word that Paul uses in Genesis chapter 3 is very, very meaningful here.
Well, Bill, wonderful fellowship today. Enjoyed our fellowship very much. Well, our time is up. You now have had a foretaste of tomorrow's program, so we'll take this opportunity to invite you to join us for it. And for the rest of these, I just guarantee you, as this life study in 2 Corinthians has been full of light and insight from the beginning, the concluding messages are equally profound and rich. And so try to stay with us for the balance of this life study as we really wrap it up here in the next couple of weeks. Our toll-free number, we'd invite you to contact us so that you can get the printed life study messages and all of the other material we have available at Living Stream from the Ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. That toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888 888- 1-800-543-3788. And do join us again tomorrow for Bill Lawson. I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today. You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. For 21 years, Witness Lee conducted a comprehensive life study, unveiling how the Bible presents Christ coming to be life to man. These audio programs are based on those messages. But to get the full riches of the life study, we hope you'll visit our website, lifestudy.com. From there, you can read over 1,800 life study messages in their entirety, or download more audio programs like this one, all free of charge. Again, the website is lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening today.